Welcome to the Dream Mason podcast. I'm your host, Alex Terranova, and this is a special three-part series being recorded after each day of the Faces, Compassion, and Wisdom Conference in Seattle. I am fortunate to be able to record these one-take sessions with my mom, Sandy Terranova, a licensed marriage and family therapist with over 25 years of experience. So please excuse any breaks or any random slip-ups, perfect that I just did it right there, in our speech, because we're doing this one shot, putting it up, so anyone that wants to know what the experience of being here is like can get a taste of it through our experience and our shares. Hey, Mom.
Hey, how you doing?
It was a long day.
It was.
So for you guys that are listening, it started today at about 9 a.m., and we are just finishing, and it's about 9:30 p.m., and yes, there are some breaks, but it's a lot of compassion and a lot of meditations and a lot of teachings
and a lot of meditations.
Yeah, and a lot of meditations. So just like we did in the first one, which if you haven't listened to the part one of three, it is up, and you can go listen to it, but this is part two, and we're answering four questions each day. So the first question is, what did you personally get, learn, enjoy, or take away from today? You want to go first?
Sure. For me, it was real clear. It was the importance of accepting things as they are and being okay with them, even if they're not perfect, even if they're not what I necessarily expected, even when Alex wasn't enjoying them, to be able to accept things as they are. And also that it's okay to feel differently about an experience than other people and still be okay.
The first part of your answer, I thought you were reflecting on me having me as your child. So for me,
that too.
I think the thing that I got or learned or took away from today was actually a, I don't want to call it a negative, but I'm feeling that that I realized how much I got stopped at the slowness and the pace and all the meditations. Like, I thought this was something that I would be okay with. And I think in maybe a different setting, not in chairs, in a different arena, maybe I would. But in just today, in the present, Tara Brach is amazing in what she gives, but she's very calm and very patient. And it's almost like we're sitting about ready to meditate the whole time, but we're also learning. And I noticed that my norm is to, I want more. I want to learn. I want to be moved. I want somebody to help my energy go forward. And I almost want to be stimulated. And for me, it was hard for me to stay present in the day because of the style. And it's not that the style was wrong or bad. It's that I just noticed that it was a stop for me. And it would be cool if I could actually use that and cultivate that, just to have like almost more facility with myself and more weapons in my arsenal to be able to be with fast, high-paced stimulation and slow and steady almost stimulation. Cool. All right. So the second question is, did you have any aha moments?
You want to go first?
Sure. So we did this exercise at the very end of the day where there was a series of exercises, I think, that like led up to it. But this last exercise, she had everybody basically stand in the middle of the room. And I don't want to describe the whole thing, but basically we all had to move around the room kind of just like mulling, but like fast, almost like Times Square in New York City on a packed day, people trying to move around. And then you would stop in front of a random person when she told us to stop. And the thing that was the aha was the first person I stopped in front of, she told everyone to kind of link right hands. Everyone took hands like a handshake. And me and the person that I matched up with instantaneously put our right hands up almost in like a frozen high five, or like a no harm kind of position, and put our hands together like that. And we both noticed it, and both of us looked around and went, whoa, that was cool. Like that it just kind of happened spontaneously, and there's no meaning or anything by it, but it just kind of shows like I think the uniqueness of human beings, that nobody told us how to link hands, and we just happened to do it that way. And it wasn't, we didn't, I think the best part is we didn't fix it. We didn't change and do it the way everyone else was. We just stuck with it and had the experience that way.
You know, that whole exercise was, I thought, amazing. I've never done anything like it. And it was where I got a realization also. And what I realized is when she started asking us to walk around, we were supposed to be hurried. And you're just walking around. And she even said the people are busy. They're bumping into you. We're just sort of walking around. And then when she had us stop at the first person, she had us actually look into the person's eyes. And the whole purpose really was to practice giving and receiving loving kindness. But no words were said. It was all in our minds to the other person. And then she, after that, she then had us continue on and do it again a few more times. And I noticed the change in everybody's faces after the first time. That the realization for me that what we see in a person often depends on what we're looking for. So that when we were rushing around, everybody became an obstacle. And once we saw what was happening at the end and had these loving kindness wishes back and forth, there was a sense in the group that it was going to happen again. And you were looking forward to meeting another person to share these wishes. And everyone almost looked like they had light shining from them. And so to me, it was really important that sort of another proof of if you look for goodness in people and in yourself, that you'll have a much better chance of finding it.
It's also amazing how we both talked about this right after, how oddly difficult it is to just stand and stare at someone in the eyes. And I would argue or assert that it's probably just as hard with somebody that you love and care about. Now, you might be able to hold it a little longer with someone you love and care about, but to just, I challenge you to try this. Go find a person right now in your life or anyone around, you know, wherever you are, and just stare into someone's eyes for a minute. Go for 60 seconds without breaking eye contact. Try for 2 minutes. Try for five. I think it's just odd because, like, we're human beings. Why is this so hard to look another human beings and hold eye contact? And not, I don't think it's so hard when we're in conversation, but when we're just being with the person, there's this, I would say it's vulnerability. You're just standing there undefended, staring into someone's eyes. So in that self, that itself was a practice. We didn't even have to do anything else.
Yeah, and you do feel very vulnerable at first. Like, what is this person seeing? Do I have the right expression on my face? And
which eye do I look into? The right or the left? Because it's hard to look into both.
Only for you.
So question three is, what will you take away from today and bring to either your clients or your practice or both?
For me, it was really kind of a restatement a little bit of yesterday, the importance of feeling things in our body, not just as thoughts in our head, which are just thoughts in our head, but more as that there's somehow more validity or more realness in what we're actually feeling in our body. And that when we can hold positive feelings in our body, we have a much better chance of reaccessing those later when we need that trust that positive feelings exist. And it just was reinforced in so many of the activities today.
I think you knew this before, but for me it was new, the RAIN tool.
Yeah, I did.
Which is, it's an acronym, right? RAIN, is that what it's called?
Yep.
So RAIN is an acronym for Recognize, Allow, Investigate, and Nurture. And aside from getting into the whole tool, it's basically a tool to look at your thoughts and really be with the wholeness of feelings and the things that you see, and then create some self-compassion or some self-nurturing, which not only could I see value in it for myself, but there's a lot, I work with a lot of amazing, brilliant, talented, successful people that just don't hold themselves that way. They might be killing it, making a lot of money, have built things, and yet at the end of the day, a lot of them just don't hold themselves at the greatness or the magnificence that I see them in or that the world might see them in. And I think this could be a great tool for them to start breaking that up and seeing that differently and actually start taking care of that space inside of them, because they've done a great job in the world outside of them, and now it's time to, like, build up that same greatness inside.
Yeah, and many people, the benefit of the exercise is that many people have a sense. Some people have no realization, but some people have a realization of their body and how they feel. but then they're criticizing them for it, themselves for it. And this whole exercise asks you to investigate or nurture with compassion so that when you see something in yourself that's making you uncomfortable, you just sort of basically say, yes, this is just the part, a part of me. It's not all of me, but just a part of me, and it's okay. And I think that nurturing makes it much easier to become aware of things that are really bothering us that we keep shoving away. So it's a really wonderful exercise.
And our last question is, can you see what you learned or experienced today having an impact on our relationship? You want me to go or you want
you
to
go? You can go, I don't care.
So for me, the biggest thing was we laughed a lot today.
We did.
And a lot of it was teasing each other or making fun of things in the room or just conversation. And I think one of the things that I like about that is in a lot of situations like this, you know, I one of the things I love about myself is I think I can bring lightness, silliness, and play to pretty much any situation. And I think that's important because, like, we take life so freaking seriously. And yeah, there's things that are important, but at the same time, like, we should be enjoying ourselves in spite of what is happening. And I think that it's great to be with you in this situation because you actually let me do it, where a lot of people would be like, pay attention, stop deflecting the humor, or all those things. And you actually just accept it and you get that, like, hey, I think today there was more, I probably was, there brought more humor because I was having a hard time staying present. But actually in that, I think it keeps me engaged because if I can, like, tease and poke fun, I actually have to be engaged to find things to tease and poke fun of. So the acceptance and the allowance for me to just be me and not have to be different or be better or be something is valuable.
I totally agree, and he really is funny. And I
was Mom.
And I was really laughing a lot today, and every time it's sort of like taking an exhale and letting everything out, and no matter how serious, if there's a little bit of humor, you take that exhale, and you just feel better, you feel lighter. So I also want to thank you for that because it was really fun today. For me, though, and maybe that's part of it, was accepting, goes back to the first one, being able to not only accept things as they are, but being able to accept the differences in people, that it's not only okay, but that allowing differences in people not to be right or wrong, but just to be, I think really in terms of us, allows for the possibility of both of us to grow and that we feel we can be different and be okay and still be loved. And that really opens up worlds. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And it's probably not obvious to all the listeners, but my mom is really uncomfortable doing this. She said she doesn't really like it, which is crazy, right? Because if you listen to the first one and now you're listening to this one, it's like supernatural. She's calm. She's articulate. It just seems like this is something that she does normally, and it's not. Thanks for listening. Remember, or I should say, if this is valuable to you, if you think you know somebody who it would help or support to hear either this episode or this podcast, please tag or share this with a friend. Please give us a review. Like the Dream Mason podcast, subscribe to it, and remember, you're a Dream Mason because your dreams don't build themselves. And we'll be back for one more of this three-part series tomorrow.